Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Wish I could do, no, I'd sound like that, let's get ready to rumble, wanker. But I don't know how to big up. After 24 games, should I do it in like a film voiceover? After 24 games, 24 days, I can't even get that fucking right. Fuck's sake, after 24 days and 29 days since we last played here, Manchester United are back. Red News Podcast 301. Hello, everyone. I've needed this back in my life, I have to say. Whether you find that superficial or shallow, or you agree, life is not the same without manuring Manchester United. So, yeah, looking forward to it. It's nice. There's positivity around. Please let it linger. No idea how we'll look after the break, but excited to see. And just, like, think, 7 games to go. Bring it on. It's such a weird fucking season, you know, like, and it's this lot, so there should be a bit of an edge about it. I don't know what the, you know, like, it has petered out. Ben is going to help with Google. No, Zayden, because he's away. And joined by Ben, kindly, who does so much for the mag. One thing, our campaign's going to start this time in 1 week. Please, people, please support it. It's a personal, selfish one, this one. Red News is 39 years next Monday. That's down to all of you. So thank you. But I want to get to 40 years, so that would be 1 year from today. So this campaign gets us to 40 years. But I want Ben and Zayden, who do so much for the mag, to promise me I don't want either of you to chip in this year, because you contribute to the mag. So it's not saying it's up to people listening and reading, please support it, but just let me give something to you, please. Don't donate this year. That's buy something nice for Zayden, you know, yeah. Please, all right? So I can, for the 1970s Reds, away fans didn't really come in the early 70s. Obviously, Rangers turned up. Sunderland, I think, Sharpie always says, bought 200 one game, but it wasn't just a dumb thing. And then United's Red Army, did we kickstart that as well? You know, like United travelling en masse, the Red Army years, did then other away fans follow suit? I can remember 76 for the Spurs, not many here, but 78 Everton. They, me and Mum got on the train at Oxford Road to the now gone platform here, and they terrorised the whole fucking train. They smashed it up. They were fucking awful. That was a 7-year-old's introduction to a lot of violence, but they left us free. But I then can remember, right, here's Google Ben. I'm guessing this is totally out of memory. My memory is fucked. I think Brian Flynn scored and they beat us 1-0 here in the 78-79 season. Have I got this totally wrong? But Leeds fans had a fair few in that, you know, the paddocks below K Stand, which then would go towards United Road. And both United Road and them were getting closer and closer. And it was fucking evil. And we were across, and you could just sense this was not. Have I got it right?
No.
Did he 81.
Score
it?
He scored
I'm
at 81.
Fucking
yeah.
2 years out of date. I apologise, but that's it. So I don't know. But for older Reds, did Leeds come before then? But so a 10-year-old, 81. It was fucking feral, and I can. It was just like an education in all the times I'd seen before between Everton and that. Don't, you know, like there'd be a pocket or a couple of the sections. A lot of teams, Newcastle, some games, Mirandina they did, but not always. They'd only have two of those paddocks open. But it was some occasions feral. So, yeah, beat the dirty bastards. And then my brother and mum had the experience 78, 79 when we could have won the league. And it all went, you know, last game, and then that was, I think my brother said, was wearing a United scarf, and the copper didn't say, like, take it off, and he said, fuck off. The copper giving it to my brother is about 12 or something. Anyway, waffle, waffle, waffle. Hello, Ben.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. Glad to be back.
Glad the Gladiator Association Club football's back as well. on this Monday night. It's a glorious night so far. So, but thanks to Sky for putting this on Monday.
No, that's the rant of the mag.
Yeah. War of the Roses, you know. And to be fair, I think Leeds still come with that reputation a little bit with their fans. They're a bit of a vile bastards, if you know what I mean. And if you go to Elland Road, I still think as a United fan, if you could still go to Elland Road these days, there's still sort of atmosphere in the air, especially when you go there. More so if you go there than when they come here.
The League Cup semi-final one, and also when the first game back, when they only gave us a tiny allocation.
Yeah.
And underneath that little bridge, you always have to keep your wits. But I'm maintaining, like, you'd rather have these lot than playing Wigan.
Of course.
Well, load to send the bastards down would be.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? But it's just something about these games. You know, it's something special. You don't really get the. Especially between the two sets of fans, you don't really get that aggro, that needle anymore. I mean, Liverpool will always be our greatest rivals, but I don't think, I go to Anfield now, I don't feel threatened at all. I go to Anfield, I can walk through that little park as you go towards the away end.
Hey!
And I feel absolutely fine.
I feel it.
There's no animosity, there's no stick, there's no... Perfect. There's no vile sort of chance to, you know, going towards me. There's no sort of abuse hurled at my way. But if you've got a Leeds United, that's a different bloody thing. That's a different kettle of fish. You do get the abuse.
That's it.
You get in the way and you're getting coins thrown at you. You're getting lights thrown at you. You know, that's still going on
now. But this is what we grew up going to. You know, that's what, for the 70s and 80s, that's what life was like. And it's all become so sanitised that you almost forget what... putting large groups of young men in football stadiums hating each other will, like, logically lead to, you know, like, so you need that edge. You don't want to just go to a tepid thing that feels like a fucking pre-season.
But my main fear is, what's it going to be like in the next 2 decades, though?
Well, it's gone.
Atmosphere, like, even United Leeds, is that going to now get so tempered down?
I didn't see Arsenal Bournemouth, but apparently the atmosphere was terrible. You know, they got booed off when they're still top of the league, and just think that's what the Old Trafford, you know, that's what it will lead to. It'll be if you keep putting hospitality in. TIA are doing fantastic.
Of course,
you know,
they are.
That they're getting the second tier. Around that, the rest of the ground, you're polluting it, you know, like, you've gone far and above what is necessary, and then that, the consequence is you get people who are pissed off if you're not winning every game, and also the atmosphere suffers and declines, and that's just
it has suffered a bigger decline, and that's why I fear if we get a new stadium, it's just going to be soulless. It's going to be, you know, the atmosphere is not going to be there. It's just going to be. I think a bit like the new Wembley, really, in a way. I don't know why we still call it the new Wembley, but it's been put
selfishly
built for a long time now. But,
you know, like, it was supposed to be 5 years. 1 year's gone, and selfishly, I will say, like, every year is another year that we stay at our home. And we don't get moved to this soulless, you know, like, and I know people were saying, oh, the boxing was at Spurs and this is the way. Yeah, but that's what I've always said. That is a sports stadium.
Yeah.
And
that's an entertainment stadium.
But people always say,
why don't we have concerts here and everything? This is built for football. This is built for sport. Football and rugby. Get away with it. But anything
they've
else.
Had boxing here in my lifetime. They've had concerts, and it wouldn't take. But they obviously just, you know, I don't know, multifaceted that we'll be arguing about for ages. Right, deep fat food is being, say that after a pint, is being banned from schools. This goes, I'm on a fucking Uncle Albert here. I can remember my school in the late 70s, I get this date right, they used to deep fry the crisps. So we had crisps that were already
deep fried. Mars bars?
Deep fried. No, I've never had a deep fried Mars bar.
Deep fried Mars bars, what high school used to do.
Spam fritters. All the time. Beautiful. We had spam fritters. And a lad on our table used to put nearly a whole thing of salt on his lunch.
Yeah.
And no one, there was no helpers, no tea, went, that's a bad thing. He just used to pour a whole. Nowadays, there'd be a fucking government outcry. You never remember the price of a pint. Now moan about prices. It's this. But you can't remember, like, and this did happen because I can remember when I started work in the late 80s that it was £1 a pint Fridays. But I can't actually thereafter remember going, oh, I can remember when it was two. Why is that, people? I haven't talked to anyone in 3.5 weeks here. Everything's more expensive. And everything is doing my head in, that they're charging you for more. And here's a box of something you don't need. So in that day and age of just being sold tat that you don't want, please support the fans. It is a really stressful time. Personally, because I just think when you're desperate to carry on for a year, and I don't know how much longer I've got to be able to do this with you all, is it just gets, oh, please let us make it. So literally, if you've got 28 quid for the PDA, 1 week's time, I know we do it, but there's a reason we do it, because 450 people doing it is so huge for us. We're out here all weathers. This is one game 1,225 that we have sold the mag out, and that is down to so many people, all of you readers. I'm not doing a big iron, but just, it means the world to me. And I do find this pre it, thinking, oh God, imagine the embarrassment. It's like only 50 people do it 1 year, which will happen. I know, that's the law of the land. Anyway, sorry, Ben, I'm hogging this. Grab the mic back off me.
No, on that as well, though, you need to keep that certain English football culture going as well. And that's what the fanzines are part of. The traditional English football culture, like your swag sellers, you know, the people that sell your scarves, your people that sell your hot dogs and your pies on the lead up to the stadium. You know, we want 40 years. We want 40 years.
Let's
hit 40 years, 45 years, hopefully 50 years, depending on...
Some of these people I've been seeing for 30 odd years. You know, this is 39 years next week. You see the same faces, you build up the community, yeah. We try and foster and fight for that community. It is like, and it's still the special thing, you know, is to maintain that for all of us. There's, out of how many people will pass me by, most just, you know, looking at me, who's that knob? But like 7,000, 8,000 through this way, I don't know how many people come, but yeah. They'll all be coming for different reasons. There'll be dads and lads like, you know, you and Zayden, there'll be people on their first trip, their 100th trip. We're not, when we slag off the way it's going, we're not slagging off the people going like, who love United and get it. It's just the price of all the progress in football, and it seems the way of the world as well, you know, like it just, and mate, you know, I do sound like I'm a moany old git these days, but I think so many things were better, mate.
But
you didn't have the Mivory.
Yeah, but even when I was a kid in the 90s, how good were things in the 90s? Do you know what I mean? And now you look at it now and I'm thinking, I say to Zayden all the time, you know, just don't know how good it was in the 90s. You know, I feel sorry for you now. You're growing up in this day and age. Yes, things are better, technology is better, etc., etc. But
it's taken away, you know, like a physicalness, and and also, you know, like on that mag, that people don't read as much. You know, you switched off, not on, and it's like, I just hope, you know, people, why we fight for this? Why there's so many stories? And there are, like, I maintain every single one of you has got a story in you. Right, back to Man U Madness then. Who do you think's coming in for Maguire? Heaven? Or
I've gone Heaven, Yoro, to be fair. I don't know if he'll start Madness because he's been out for a while.
He's back in the squad.
He's definitely back in the squad.
And Lacey.
Yeah, and Lacey should be, hopefully, because he didn't start for the 21s, did he? The last game, so... You're hoping to see Lacey today, even if it's on the bench.
I've got a good feeling about today.
I've got a good feeling about today as well.
Right, come on, let's 3-0.
I've got 3-0 as well.
Fucking hell.
As well.
This is the most giddiest we've been in a while.
Could tell United not been on for ages, can't you?
But isn't it, as I said last, you know, just have that feeling. There's no chaos, there's no carnage. It's at Spurs, you know, it's at Arsenal bottling it. The conversations about it, and we're just hopefully getting on with things right. Yeah, we're not where we want to be, but it's a fucking damn sight better.
Our people around us, the teams around us, have dropped points as well over the weekend again. So it's a big opportunity to put some daylight between us.
That is like, you don't get hits like that often. Yeah. It is a strange.
It is a very strange. Football is a strange old game.
Chelsea
isn't it?
Won't be as shit as they were.
No, they won't be
in the second half. So there were a couple of things I didn't give you time for last week, Ben.
Oh yeah, just on a couple of the academy sort of side of things. As I said, I'll start with Adam Lawrence first, who's currently in charge of the 21s. Obviously, people might remember him as the FA Youth Cup winning coach for the team with the Garnacho win and Kobe Mainu win. He obviously left in the summer, and he came back when Carrick took charge of the first team because, obviously, he was poaching staff left, right and centre for whatever he could. So Adam Lawrence came back in, took over the 21s, and should Carrick... we've obviously been strong rumours, should Carrick's obviously stay on and keep the job, that Adam Lawrence will come in, back in full time as the 21s. But I've hazarded a guess they might want to try and keep him around anyway, give him some sort of a job, because he's a good coach in the day, you know, and he worked wonders for that 18 side. So hopefully he'll find him another job. We shall see. And then obviously Jaden Campson, the young wing back, he signed a new deal. It's the summer 2028, I believe, with an option of extra year. Decent. Obviously, he's only played about 15 games this season. The 21s, he's been injured, unfortunately. But you've seen him against Arsenal, if you remember. He scored that fantastic goal. You know, he's got another one with one of those high ceilings. About how far can he actually go? And again, it's all about development. You know, will they put him out on loan? You know, how will you do out on loan?
If it's a good club, the loan system is you know, when it's done well, it's so fantastic. The problem is when you get so chopping and changing, so many teams are losing managers
left, right,
someone
centre,
brings someone in, then they, oh, I don't fancy you, you know, like, and then it goes to tits up.
Yeah.
And then they're stuck there until January or whatever.
But, you know, it's just one of those, mate. It's like, you've got to try and temper expectations a little bit with some of these kids. Like, you see it online as well with the 21s, we're 2-0 down at our town, Newcastle. And then you just see everyone going, oh, 21s are shit. But the 21s were level top of the league going into that. They're finished second. They do have home advantage going into the playoffs as well when the playoff games do get announced. But I'm thinking, United always play players above their age group.
Yeah.
So a lot of them are 18, 16, 17-year-olds. They're playing against 21-year-olds. Because
a
lot of other teams play their 20, 21-year-olds. But so United always play. And obviously all the bigger names of the 21s, like your Biancheris, for example, they're all out on loan at the minute. So United are obviously trying to, you know...
Well, so it'd be interesting with JJ Gabriel next season against the older age limit, because you know, so many things can happen. They can happen to a career of a 20-year-old. You know,
exactly,
have a stagnation. You have a year where it's not going as well. So, like the hype, you know, like United, I'm sure they are being so careful about protecting that back, because the way people talk about him, you know, like wonder kid, and you can put reels on anyone. You know, you think also it can go to their heads, and you know,
it's like I said though, like. I was sat out here with Zainan for, you know, for a little bit of time, you know, before the FA Youth Cup game. Well, not the FA Youth Cup game, should I say, before the Real Madrid under 21 game here. And a couple of Real Madrid fans were asking about JJ Gabriel, asking if he would actually be part of the team. But I said, no, he won't be, because obviously I think he'll be still part of the under-18s. He won't be involved. But that just goes to show when Real Madrid fans are asking after someone like JJ Gabriel, you know. And there's rumours. They were saying there's rumours of their
club.
I couldn't tell you, mate. Because it was in the other corner. But you could hear him a little bit anyway. Yeah, you could hear. Right. I think they may have brought a handful, which is fair play.
Because they never brought a handful for the first team for a while, did they?
No, yeah, exactly. And then but I'm hoping United will protect your likes, your Gabriels, your Lacy's, you know. And fair play to Lacy's, you know. I think he's got a family that's strong, you know, that keeps his feet on the ground. It's a shame about Kai Rooney as well, really getting injured and being out for the rest of the season, because it'd have been interesting to see if he'd helped United gone to the FA Youth Cup this year.
We've been interested, like, if we made, you know, if the getting carried away, the top four, and it became a certainty, we've got a couple of games. Well, how novel is this to start giving like some moments?
It's a shame.
Little cameo.
It's just a shame we went out. We didn't have no European football. Went out of all the cup competitions early.
And that's why
you might
need
have
a
maybe blooded a couple of them.
Yeah, you need a league cup run on that. Right, we have waffled quite a bit here, Ben.
We have waffled.
So we're going 3-0. Anything else to add? Up the fucking regiment.
Up the regiment.
You know, it is. You know,
I can't think of anything to grumble about again, Barney. It's been all right. It's been a good time.
The little bit of wind. No, I'm not grumbling. When it rains later. But yeah, cheers for your support, everyone. I'm sorry I keep going on about
I'll catch you on the way back.
Cheers, Grant. I appreciate your support. We whinge on for a reason, but just want to keep this fucking leg in the pavement determination to keep going for another year, and you can do that. So I love it. Love you all. Isn't it? You know, it's getting warmer. I'll be in shorts last game.
Once that season,
Right.
Never again.
I feel like I've been released and I've just nicked, like, I've not even had a pint. All right, 3-0. Come on, Reds. Well, finally, the optimism pays off, we say pre-match. You've been...
I've got nothing to say today. Usually I'm arguing against all the negativity and everybody's happy
it's
now.
Not here.
So,
isn't it a lovely thing, isn't it?
It is. It's great. I don't...
What do you put it down to?
A manager that knows the club, a manager that can deal with the pressure of the club. Yeah, I mean, he's worked with a decent few of the players before.
But you didn't want to see Amorim go, did you?
No, I didn't. No, but that's just because I never like seeing a manager sacked. And to be fair to him, I mean, he had a fair few things not going his way. But I think you bring in a player like Carrick, an ex-player like Carrick. It's a lot. You don't want to say. Don't want to be too anti-Amorim, but the fundamental is you bring in someone like Carrick, who's been there and done it at the highest level. Obviously, Amorim, he was a decent player, but you found it hard to imagine Amorim telling Casemiro to do his job when Casemiro's the better footballer, you know. But you get someone like Carrick come in, all that experience, having done it, and he tells you to do something, you're going to do it without really doubting it. So
also dropping these big names, you know, Amorim and Ten Hag both did it. You know, not some of them were right, some of them were wrong, but they might look at the manager and go, "Well, who the fuck are you, dropping a five-time European Cup winner?" You know, like, it's hard dynamics at a football club.
It depends. You'd like to think that they've all got a little bit of contextual awareness. I mean, I imagine though you're talking about like Ronaldo with Ten Hag, and I think anybody with half a sort of bit of common sense could see you can't allow somebody to just walk off at the end of a game before it's even ended because they're not happy with being subbed off. I would have thought that players, even though you're looking at Ronaldo and everything he's achieved, you're still going to look at that and go, you can't get away with that, mate. And then who did Amorim drop? Amorim dropped Casemiro for a bit just because he didn't think he fit the system.
Maguire
as well for a bit, yeah. But other than that, I mean, like your Sanchos and your Garnachos, you're not. He's done us a favour there, really.
Well, I am in a minority of one where I haven't got the hatred towards Garnacho. He's a knob, but they're all knobs. And I was a knob at his age. But I thought his interview was quite conciliatory, you know, like I made mistakes. He didn't.
Oh, the recent one.
The one he did on.
Thing is, that interview comes after months of ridicule at Chelsea. When he left for Chelsea, and he thought, they're all going to love me. I'm great. That. It was all United, all anti us.
Yeah.
The moment it's gone back on him a little bit, he's backtracking on some of the things he said.
But he's like, I don't bracket him with Sancho because I think Garnacho gave me moment. You know, like he actually scored and
I don't think you can bracket anybody with Sancho.
And Rashford, fair play. Like I was thinking about this the other day in my bathtub, that you think with Rashford, you know, like in my menu, he was at a rut. All the things that were going on, he was in such a rut.
He just needed to get away. He needed to get away from us, and we needed to get away from him a little bit. It was always going to be a case of he'd go somewhere else, fresh fan base, he'd be, you know, I know Barca fans, for the most
It'd
part,
be interesting
I see positivity.
If they don't take the 30 million option, that's bizarre, because you know, a 30 million player, that's snapping up. Yeah. If not us, you know, we've done that one too. And good luck to him. We both move on. Where do you stand on Carrick?
On Carrick? In terms of keeping him on?
Is it too premature for us to be getting?
I think if Enrique was on the table, it would be a tough decision. But then, we were talking about it in the car on the way up. It can go either way. Because let's say Enrique's available, and you drop Carrick and you bring Enrique in, and it doesn't quite go right, and in a few months' time he's fallen out of people, everybody's going, you should have kept Carrick. Equally, if we keep Carrick, and it doesn't quite go our way in the Champions League, and it's all a bit too much for him too soon, everybody's going, we should have got Enrique. Saying that, don't think Enrique's going to be available, pretty sure he's going to renew at PSG. And at that point, you look around and you go, right, you've got Iraola and you've got Glasner and names that people will bring up. I wouldn't drop Carrick for them.
No.
Because you know, at the very least, you know that Carrick
can take
the pressure.
The Bournemouth manager does look one to watch.
Well, they're good coaches. But the difference is, you know, we've seen it, and Carrick, through all his playing years, you know he can cope with the pressure that comes with being United manager. You don't necessarily know that about a Glasner and an Iraola. It's a very different thing managing a Bournemouth and a Palace than it is.
And football's weird, isn't it? A year ago... 11 months ago, a year ago we had Leon, thank fuck. 11 months ago, you'd have left Bilbao and you'd have thought, who's got the better season ahead? Spurs in the Champions League, money to buy. Us, they go, they're in free fall, you know, let's clutch at managers. No, but it's like, that goes back to what I said the other night, is momentum and consistency. If you've got, if the engine's purring, why change? You know, like,
I don't think there's any need to change it. I'd stick with Carrick. I mean, you don't know how much their truth there is in it, but some of the reports coming out are that, you know, those in charge are starting to think more along the lines of it's more important to get the players right than it is to get the coach right, which is probably true. I'd much rather keep Carrick this window, go and get your whichever players we're targeting, get the right players in, and then if halfway through next season we're starting to think maybe the job's too big for Carrick at this point, then you look at other coaches. But at least you've got the players for them to come in and work with.
Yeah, well, we've been running on fumes, haven't we? We've got to sort the wing backs, we've got to sort the replacement for Casemiro.
Yeah.
You know, in the modern game, how crucial wing backs are. Deleu, you know, I have my bromance with him, but it's no, but it's like he can't. He's always got a mistake in him. We all know that.
Yeah,
so you've got to upgrade.
I'd keep him.
Yeah,
I wouldn't get rid of him. I keep him as a squad player because we always say he's always available, and it's obvious how much he cares. But yeah, quality wise,
never fucking injured.
I don't think it would be my priority. I think I like Cunha on the left. He can do a job there, but he's not a left winger. You want to look at trying to get somebody sort of a runner in behind, because we lack that at the moment. I mean, Ahmad's quick, but he wants the ball at his feet. We've got nobody in the squad right now that you sort of knock it in behind, right? They can run onto it if you're in that sort of situation.
And Bremo Ahmad weren't having particularly good spells before this break, so maybe let's hope it. Like, they may put the fear of God into me saying it will be a very, very dogged first half, because
we will not be at the
races.
We'll be out,
you don't know, let's hope. Sorry, I've stopped you from your pints, lads, as ever. Would you at a prediction?
Oh, we don't do score predictions.
Sorry. I always try and get you on that. Wouldn't it be nice? Like, again, like, I thought teams around us weren't going to keep fucking up.
Win today, 10 points. Beat Chelsea, City beat Arsenal on the weekend, and we're only 9 points off the top with 5 games left.
Jesus. That's before the pint. See you later, lads. We just had Eccles Red, who always buys a mag, and he just reminded me about the bank holiday. Red News does not condone any of the bank holiday 97, was it, or 98, where their escort came in late and everyone didn't get in till half time because it was just, I was trying to sell and it was absolute fucking carnage across the forecourt. It was like, yeah, madness. Hello, Nathan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. Good, yeah.
Is Sun's it going to rain? Yeah, but is it going to rain?
No, it's not. It's not going to rain. It's going to
You're
stay
excited
sunny.
About today?
I am. It's been a long time.
It's ridiculous.
We've been... humans have been to the moon and back since we last played football. So, yeah. Why would I not be excited? I love this fixture. I know it's horrible, but, like, I say it every season. I love the fact that I don't want Leeds to go down, because this is a game that... These are two games in the season that mean something. Whereas you play against Norwich or someone, it means fuck all. So I love these games.
How do you think it's going to pan out?
I think we'll win. I'm pretty confident we'll win. I think the only concern is that we know a lot of these games where it's been after big breaks, we've looked slow to start with, which is understandable because, you know, they're rusty, aren't they? So, but hopefully they've had a nice few days in Ireland. And
well, it sounded like they were golfing, they were kayaking. Oh, what's that Saipan thing?
Oh yeah, it's great.
It sounded like exactly like they'd been sent to Saipan. And Keane would not have been impressed with
it's good
the break.
Film that.
It
good
is
film.
Apart from I didn't like Coogan as Mick McCarthy, controversial take.
Fair.
It didn't gel with me.
You just didn't see it.
And like, obviously, I don't particularly like Keane's turned into now, but old, you know, so pro Keane back then. But it did portray Mick McCarthy as this thick. He's said it himself.
Oh yeah, he's going to, isn't it? He's not going to go. Bumpy. You know what? That's bang on.
But I mean, I then Google, because you know I'm a anal that I have to recheck everything that I've watched to find their inner meanings and all shit like that. But they didn't have footballs.
I know.
Hell.
I know.
But well worth a watch.
Yeah.
But so is the finding Jack Charlton, which I'd love, absolutely loved, you know, resonated. Right, so I'm just talking endlessly today.
No, I'd like to think we'll win, I think. And then we know that pretty much guarantees us Champions
10 points.
League.
10 points, which is six games to go, you'd go.
I think, especially win today, and then like I think it was Shane who said maybe puts less pressure on Saturday. Then doesn't it? Obviously, we still want to get something out of that, but you're sort of going into that almost job done. Then aren't you? Do you know what I mean? So,
Well, we have got tough games to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to be given this opportunity.
Like, I know that this
we
is
were
probably...
confident at the start of the season, though, weren't we? In what was your pub?
Which pub was it?
Chorten.
In Chorten, in Duffy's.
Duffy's?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we were as confident as this.
But we said it'd be all right, and we were looking forward to it, weren't we? It's been so weird, though, with the breaks and...
Yeah, it's...
Are you having a pint after?
Yeah.
Hey!
Should be, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
What time is it? It's about 5:30 now, and you've been... What time did you get?
Oh, don't ask. it's just been... Yeah, don't ask. Nick's not been here, so I had to sort the mags, then someone's... sorted me something, and that sounds like much more fun than it has been. But I got to see Pancho.
Yeah.
He's so lovely. I mean, I keep looking at him like I'm still going, Pancho! Like, very excited. Those heroes, like, they were just... Right, come on, score prediction then.
3-1.
Oh, so that is three of us have gone 3 goals to the famous Manchester United.
Yeah, I do feel like we might concede, but...
Yeah,
I do think we might concede, just because obviously I'm imagining centre backs is going to be.
Who do you think he's going to put in, Martinez or Heaven?
Is Martinez?
He's in the squad.
Maybe, but he doesn't seem like he rushes people. So
be just Martinez. Like, we've got a loop in the fanzine to fucking kick a Leeds player up the arse. Be it Calvert-Lewin's obviously done, and Dan James is a sub. These, I still like Dan James.
So yeah, I'll go 3-1. I'll go 3-1.
Okay, all right. Let's start selling. Cheers again, and sorry for waffling, everyone. About 1,000 things to get off my chest. I've never sworn as much in 90 minutes in years. The league is shit because everyone can literally beat everyone. I haven't seen
that
it
makes
back. The
guy.
No, but. I just want Manchester United to dominate. This is an ultimate pre and post pod because the giddiness before, every time you think you're out, they pull you back into the mud. Look, what I will say, I've said all along, I think if we make Champions League, Carrick should stay. But then that doesn't not. I've done this over a few managers. I thought he made lots of mistakes today. Now, the excuse will be afterwards. I thought the referee was fucking terrible. Game's gone if you're sending off anyone. I probably was a sending off. But I said to Paul next to me, if Bournemouth got 11 or 10 minutes added on for when the VAR was done pretty quickly for Maguire's incident, we'll get about 5 or 6 minutes today. We got fucking 7 minutes. Not, look, we were absolutely dog shit for 60 minutes. What I was worried about is we knew, and the excuse will be, and it is a justifiable excuse, we haven't played in 24 games. But the whole point, I just thought... Plan for that, prep for that, that you do know.
I said before the game that we start slowly. And
It was Bruno's worst opening 45 minutes, and then he was everywhere afterwards. But what ultimately, Sesko, we didn't give him the ball in the first half, and then he really, really was poor in the second. That he didn't win any of the battles. Mazraoui was terrible.
Well, compared to Calvert-Lewin,
I thought Yoro had a good game for us. But I thought Yoro, the last 20 minutes. No, someone's really laid into him on the walk back.
He improved.
I thought he
improved
everything in the last 20 minutes.
Maybe in the last 20 minutes, but he lost the game in the first half. I don't want to go in on specific players, but... He was awful in the first half.
I mean,
Mazraoui was first. It says a lot when you're hoping that they bring Dalot on at half time.
Who did all right? But made
no,
like
did, yeah.
The amount of times we won the first ball, then gave the second away.
The only thing that I'll say that mistake wise, because obviously you know he's going to make changes, but is that it took so long for him to make the subs when he did.
But my other point is knowing that they're not going to put much time on. You've got an immediate, at least 30 seconds, knowing that Casemiro looked dead on his knees at 85 minutes. Casemiro had gone to number 10 role. That why don't you make the 3 next subs? Just to, like, Sesko off, Mount on. I thought that was really poor of him. Because nothing has been... And Paul said to me next, you know, at least we had a response. Yeah, we did. And we looked, you know, but why did it take that long? And we could have drawn it in the end. But ultimately, that is, like, it was worse than Newcastle because it was so poor for 60 minutes.
It was, but I know it was poor all around, but it was defensively was so bad. That first half,
and you got it with, but then the, you know, a lot.
Well, that's
it's terrible. But then the fans are getting on his back, which then restricts him further. And I'm not excusing him. He's terrible.
Bruno for the second goal having a pantomime activity in our
half. Yeah, did not.
It's disgusting.
And it wasn't a foul.
Absolutely,
it
wasn't disgusting.
But that's the thing. Even that one, it wasn't a foul to start with. But,
to get up.
But you can't blame that. Because I'm not saying you personally, but I'm saying like that we had three or four chances to get the ball out of the box there, and they were just doing nothing.
To sum up the night, they've said the pub's closed and you can't come in, and everyone's fucking in here.
We were already
in the dockyard.
The
bouncer said you can't come in.
But yeah, I think.
Built yourself a platform to just go, fucking hell, Monday night, last team playing. You know that they're going to play. They're going to be. So how does he change that? And I'm not. So if we still make Champions League, but just like then it gives Chelsea. Could do us on Saturday.
Like if they're going to be up for it on Saturday now, knowing that if they get points, then they're well back into it, aren't they? And we're worrying again.
It's just what a before and after. And I wouldn't have waited till the 62nd minute to make the change.
Well, that's what I said. That's for me that. His main mistake of the day was waiting so long for that to happen.
It wasn't a United Leeds game. The atmosphere was rubbish.
At times it was all right. At times. Yeah, but that's Monday night. Read the mag.
I know it's Monday night, but Monday night, Wednesday afternoon, Tuesday morning, shouldn't make a difference when you're playing them. Personally, but...
What did you make of it?
I thought it was poor. I thought like we were still on holiday, basically. So it's like, look, you've had them 3 weeks.
But were we not allowed to play a game in that time?
I don't know.
We're talking we play a game of, abroad, and then obviously the wars interrupted
that. That's probably a major thing. There was a lot of talk about us playing Milan, wasn't it? But it would have been out there, and so that's not going to happen with all what's going on. So that's probably the major...
It's been noticeable like the last few times we've got away with it a lot of them, but these games where we've played for the first time in a while, we just look so slow getting into it. And the problem with today is that they took advantage of that. It's almost as if they knew that, because they scored after 4 minutes. They had a really good chance after 2 minutes should have scored.
7 minutes,
so they knew. They went into it, obviously knowing, just go for it.
Go for the juggler.
Yeah.
They looked more structured.
Fair play to
them. They don't play for 3-4 weeks. And obviously they played FA Cup and all that, and on the high got to the semi-final.
He had them well set up, but it's like, and Calvert-Lewin, that was, I think I may have said before, it was a worry because he's a half decent. Maybe like, we obviously miss Manu, but that's a worry that if you miss your one player, and the Sesko thing, because if you play him, give it to him, first off, put the crosses service. In, didn't do that, service like we said with Hoyland, and then to persist in when he wasn't winning any kind of aerial battles in the second half, and not
Casemiro,
to have a Bram on.
I thought Casemiro looked tired from the start. He looked like he'd had a good 3 weeks away.
Maybe I'm being cruel, but the one more year Casemiro, and I know he scored a header
No way, one more year. He's done great. He's been good for us, but that's it now.
Shane, putting you on the spot. What'd you make of it?
I thought it was really, really poor. Obviously, you probably said all that. I kind of was saying in the pub before, in theory, being refreshed is great, but sometimes you think losing momentum 3 weeks off, you probably said all that. But they just look hungrier. They're not a great team, obviously. They just look hungrier for it. We weren't at the races, complacent. midfield was non-existent. I thought Casemiro had one of those sort of lazy games where expects it just to happen, and when a team pressure and push and rushes, I just thought it was very, very poor. It was good to see a bit of fight after the sending off. But yeah, I literally, the first half, the only... I looked down at my... Yes, my lad Connor had sent me a video of him and... Yeah, my grandson watching a game together, and he had a Cantona baby grow on. That was the highlight of the game for me. So, yeah, I thought it was very, very poor. A bit of a fight at the end. I thought, and it shows sometimes you miss... Like, we snagged him off. I thought we missed Dello going forward. I thought...
This is where, when you're at the game, I've not seen the sending off properly. We miss Carrick. You don't get the input that all everyone lovely sat on their sofas gets. That's what the game is for. It's not for us, you know. And I just feel fucking angry.
More angry than
I've felt in a...
Well, it's and with the rival with Leeds, you know, like, credit where it's due, one of the noisier sides to come to OT, but I thought it was a bit flat, you know. We rallied in the second half as a crowd, but yeah, generally it was a poor night all round. Yeah, Monday night's football, the faff of getting up, and then you kind of it was just very. There was just nothing, was there? First half, you start to single players out, but you might as well say they were all of them were off it. Like, I don't know what you've said already.
Well, I thought Yoro was okay, but the lad really slated in there.
Who you think was okay?
Yoro.
I thought it was fucking diabolical first off. Like, he was really, really bad. Yeah, he was really poor. And I'm not singling him out because others were poor, but we were saying around us that he looked like he was really struggling to me first half. But he done some, you know, sending off looks off to me, but I don't know.
Mazzarri was so bad.
Oh, he was awful, yeah.
Which surprised, you know, like, yeah. He's not had any games at all.
Well, I said in the group, have that back four ever played together? Because that was a makeshift back four, wasn't it? Like, and I jokingly put in the group, I bet that Maguire is gutted that he agreed to a half-price pay cut after seeing that.
When Dello, why not? You know, Dello's not the art, but why not start Dello? I don't get, like.
We're
so limited in the midfield. You've got to get rid of your guy. Casemiro's going. We have to get.
And this, I put it in the group. This is not a. This won't be a popular opinion. I'd be thinking past Martinez by now. We cannot rely on Martinez, both in terms of injuries and being an idiot. And I know that a lot of people who are listening to this will not agree that that's a red card. Everyone knows that if you pull someone by the hair, it's an automatic red card. You can't rely on someone who, for the majority of the season, is either injured or suspended.
What does hair pulling get? What is hair pulling? A 1 or 2, 3 match? Is it so pathetic?
But everyone knows. So it's either you're stupid for knowing it.
Yeah. No, I agree. But
are you stupid for not?
Speaking as the bald fraternity, I'd fucking have love to have my hair pulled.
We gave away a lot of stupid free kicks in needless positions when we had momentum.
The ref was fucking shit.
Yeah, but we
were 7 minutes. Yeah. Why is it only 7 minutes? Again, repeatedly, Everton we only had 4 or 5. Yeah. Bournemouth was 10 or 11. I know that's not. We deserve to lose today.
Oh yeah.
But where is it only 7 minutes, Shane?
Yeah, but I can't get too well. Like,
well, it's, we were, yeah, but you know, we if United terrible, are yeah. losing, we're not going to get the fucking minutes. Yeah, oh, they've missed it.
I've got it on video.
Here it comes. Oh fuck! I know you can't do it, but that is fucking pathetic. That's not a red card. That is not a red card. I'm not having that as a red card.
No, it's not. It's ridiculous.
The game has fucking gone if that's a red card.
I'll take it back then.
That's not a red card. Why doesn't... If the ref had given a yellow, they wouldn't have even got VAR in fucking involved.
That's a week as well.
Why
I don't know what you said before. There's a lot of people saying
Bruno stays out. No, I didn't. Oh, that pissed me off.
Whenever you physically can get up 2 minutes later and run around like he did, you're not that injured to stay down. Like, he wasn't that hurt. Like,
and it's just, you're going to both. I thought Cunha was all right.
I thought Cunha was supposed to be the.
It's no different than putting someone's shirt.
But that's the thing.
It's just a little tug, isn't it?
I know, but...
I know you're not allowed to do it, but what I'm saying is... No, it's, there's no more violent than pulling someone's shirt.
Vinnie Jones fucking grabbed Gazza's bollocks and got fuck all.
Yeah. I know. In the age of VAR, you just can't get
and gone bollocks. Sorry, I'll say that.
No. You did go to the monitor. To go to the monitor and then give a red card, having gone to the monitor...
But what is it? In all the times of VAR, they've only said 3 times I don't agree with VAR. Out of all the hundreds of incidents.
VAR's a whole new subject. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it.
Hate it all. So is there any worries? Or is this just a...
Any worries?
I think, like I said on the group before, like tonight was the one you expect to win. And you go into Chelsea then thinking, you're kind of like in pole position for Champions League. You haven't got to rely on winning at Chelsea. You're not putting yourself under pressure. You can go there, hopefully you win, but you can get away with a draw. You can even afford to drop points. But now we're under pressure now to get points there.
The thing is, Villa threw last night. There's a great opportunity for us just to move forward.
But that was the Amorim problem. Like, if we'd have won this, we'd be fourth. At least we're in the position, but it's more just like, it's Leeds, it's a derby, it's Monday. We wait.
Was that his strongest
suit? No, he didn't. No, no, we know that. Mbeumo made.
So why not start
with? Because he hasn't been playing well.
I know, but they're a relegation struggling team. Like, we should be able to play that team and beat them.
What was the matter with
Maynard? I don't know. Mad a jinx, like we ain't fucking played, and then you get an injury.
I think I'm not gonna lose my head over it, because that's the thing. It's like playing against Leeds is one of them games. Like, you know, we do generally do well against them, but it's almost like a derby sort of thing, isn't it? So it could be different.
We were
bad, but. You know, I'm still confident that we're not going to completely fuck it up in the next, like, few weeks. So, I'm not going to lose my head over it.
Just fucking frustrated, but cleared off the line. No, but...
Well, I think their keeper made 2 or 3 really good saves as well.
Off the line.
You know, so...
Fucking Calvert-Lewin as well. It's fucking hair. If you're going to do it properly, scout the bastard, and then that goes in off the line. Fuck it. Right, any hates, loves? Thanks, sir. A couple of people came up and said nice things about the pod and bought the mag. Thanks to everyone who bought the mag. Fuck it. Go again Saturday. We'll do a pod then. Yeah. Nothing.
That's it. Rah. To the regiment.
Yeah, just... Rah. All right, take care.
Leeds United, 2 United, 1 at full time. Shit, that. Honestly, shit. First half, shit. Ugarte, Bobbins. The whole team were Bobbins, to be fair. Second best at everything, first half. No fight, no passion, no nothing. But Leeds run rampant. Bruno, for the fucking brilliant player that he is, and he is world class, he pisses me off when he just slays there and on the fucking ground. You know, get over and play to the fucking whistle. You've not got a head injury. The referee's not going to stop the fucking game. And Leeds don't have to put the ball out of play. Get the fuck up and play on. Defend for your fucking life. Roy Keane wouldn't have been sat down on the fucking ground like that, laid on there, waving his arms around. Get the fuck up and defend the fucking play. Well, second half, at least we came out with a bit of fit, a bit of fight, a bit of passion, a bit of, you know... Oomph. You know, Casemiro again scoring. Gonna miss that guy. But for me, Casemiro first half plays so fucking deep. Because he has to. because he's covering for, he's essentially doing two jobs, because Ugarte is just fucking useless. Ugarte has only got one thing, and that's pass sideways or backwards. There's no forward pass with him, there's no urgency, there's no fucking sprinting forward. Just very, very lackluster, Ugarte. And you know, he's not the only one that had a really bad game. There's quite a few of them, especially in the first half. But credit to United though for battling back to 2-1. They're sending off, by the way, apparently for an apparent hair pull. Looking on in the women's game, there was a hair pull the other day. A fucking Chelsea player, an Arsenal player, got fucking that wasn't even red carded. This one, fucking red card. Make that make fucking sense to me, you know? It's not good enough, Reds. Not good enough. Look at them, just Olaid at the fucking corner. Fucking hate Leeds, you know. It's not good enough. You know, after the optimism, right, to start with Barney saying, oh, it's going to be 3-0. Just shocking, really. It's not good enough, man. But anyway, I wouldn't, less than on that game, the better. I'm just going to just say, please, please, please support the mag. I know the campaign is going to be, Barney's going to be doing that on Monday. Next Monday, he's going to start opening the campaign to save Red News for the 40th year. Please, please save Red News for the 40th year. It's literally just a little bit older than I am by a year. I'm going to be 39 in August, so please, please, please support the mag. It's just turned 39 now. We want it for the 40th year. In a day and age where, you know, we're losing pure football nostalgia, pure football heritage, and that's what it is, pure footballing nostalgia, pure footballing heritage, fanzines. So please, please say Red News. Roll on Chelsea away, up the fucking Reds. Glory, glory, Man United, and to the regiment, and support Red News, support the mag. Let's get it to 40 years.